Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. So was it hard, was it challenging to imagine yourself not as the person offering compassion, not as the person denying compassion, but as the one receiving compassion and care? Was that a challenge? I struggled a little myself when the Samaritan is moved with pity. I thought, I don't want to be pitied. I don't want someone to take care of me. I don't want one person to say to another, here, take care of her, let me pay for that, and whatever else you spend, I will repay when I come through again. I don't want to be a bother or a burden or a trouble to other people. I'm much more comfortable when this story is either convicting me of the times in which I'm a priest or a Levite, can be that sometimes, and not just literally, right? The times in which each of us are people who pass someone in need by on the other side because we're going someplace more important, we think, or because we are doing something more important, or because in our pride, in our need to be clean, which is what the priest and the Levite are concerned mostly about, most likely, the need to be ritually pure so they can do their work, we can't humble ourselves to the status of others. And I love to think about the ways in which I am challenged, we are challenged, to always see the person in need, to always ask, what's so wrong with this road anyway that people are being constantly set upon by thieves, as Dr. King encourages us to ask, you know, ask why the road to Jericho is so beset with thieves, what needs to change about this situation, what can we fix? We love to fix things. We love to help and be helpful. We love to be needed. We love to be loving. That's all very good. But it's hard sometimes to reflect upon how vulnerable we are, how we can be set upon by thieves and beaten and left broken by the side of the road, and other people might see that and be moved with pity or compassion, but pity, and stop and tend us and care for us, and we think we don't deserve it. For a long time, the church taught that pride was a sin. For a long time, the church taught that in a sense, the selfishness of thinking of ourselves was wrong or bad or detracted us from God. And there's always this tension, this push-pull, and there's always this statement that a preacher never preaches a message they don't also somehow need to hear that makes me wonder about where the church was at, particularly at the height of its power in Christendom, where maybe pride was the biggest challenge, where maybe pride was the greatest thing that separated humanity from God. Certainly that sense that we don't need anyone else, we don't need each other, let alone God. But in my experience in the world today, it is not pride that holds us back from God most of the time, but quite the opposite. It is the feeling of worthlessness that drives us past the point of saying, okay, God, we're not worthy, so we need you, to the point of saying, God, we're not worthy, so therefore you can't love even us. That feeling that challenges us so that it is hard to love ourselves, and I think this now is a thing that holds us back from God and from one another. It has a weird gendered dynamic where women especially are taught to not think too highly of ourselves. That is, there's all kinds of nasty words for that, right? Pushy and bossy are the best, but to not think too highly of ourselves. Taught to exhibit a lot of the fruits of the spirit of patience and meekness and gentleness. And where even when men are taught to be assertive, to use that almost as a cover, because deep down we're also taught, or we pick up somewhere along the way, that we're not good, we're not worthy, we're not lovable. And when Jesus sets forth these commandments, the greatest commandments, you know, 10 was too many, so let's try to consolidate to something I can remember. Someone asks him, what is the one greatest commandment? Jesus says, well, I'll give you two. It's the best I can do. To love God with your whole being and to love your neighbor as yourself. We work a lot in worship and prayer and study to love God with our whole selves. And we work a lot in our outreach, in our mission, in our SALT, our Saturday afternoon lunches together to love our neighbors, to share that love with our neighbors, to see our neighbors as those who give and receive compassion. But I confess to you that if I were to love my neighbor as I love myself, if I were to love my neighbor the way I love myself, I would be a terrible neighbor indeed. I would be incredibly critical of the smallest flaws in my neighbor and harp on them and fixate upon them and tell my neighbor, you need to fix these things before I can truly love you. I would spend a lot of time obsessing about what was wrong with my neighbor, running over every negative thing anyone else had ever said. I would tell my neighbor when their body was in pain, keep going, push through. What kind of wimp are you anyway? And when my neighbor was grieving, I would say, where's your fortitude? Where's your faith? Stiff upper lip. Pull yourself together. If I loved my neighbor as myself, I would be the priest and the Levite who walk by on the other side. I would tell my neighbor, I'll get to you when I'm done taking care of everybody else, literally everybody else in the world. If I loved my neighbor as I love myself, I would say to that neighbor, you are not important enough for me to spend time taking care of you. My job is to care for everyone else. And with anything I have left over at the end of the day, which I can almost guarantee will be nothing, then we will spend some time in rest, talking together, making peace with one another. If I were to love my neighbor as I love myself, in exactly the way I love myself, I would be the world's worst neighbor. And I don't think that I'm alone. If we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, then we have to reverse the equation. Maybe it's easy for Jesus to say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus' own self was godly. Jesus' own self was perfect in ways we cannot be. We strive to be made perfect in love in this life. Jesus was already there, and then some. So maybe it was easier for Jesus to say, love your neighbor with that same kind of love that you have for yourself. But when Jesus says that to me, I say, wait, I need to back up because I don't have the second part down yet. What if I am called to love myself the way I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor? What if I'm called when myself is hurting to stop and tend to my own wounds? To spend resources, time, care on myself and let my body and my spirit heal when it needs to? What if rushing to the next thing that the priest or the Levite has to do, the next person they need to take care of, is not the best of all worlds because it neglects someone who is hurting, even if that someone is me? Everything I have been taught tells me that what I'm saying is selfish, that what I'm saying is not Christian, that what I'm saying means that other people might hurt while I'm busy taking care of myself. And yet if Jesus is calling me to love my neighbor as myself, I know I can't do that if I leave a part of myself broken and bloody on the side of the road. Well, I rush off to be the savior of the world for everyone else and don't show compassion to my own self and my own weakness. If I am called to love my neighbor as myself, as I am so often reminded in my clergy support group and my conversations with therapists and counselors all over the place and throughout my life, you would never in a million years say to another person as their pastor the kind of criticism you say to yourself. Why is that? You would never in a million years say to a neighbor or a friend who is hurting that you don't have time for them, that their grief is not valid or is a burden, that their pain is something they should just push through. That doesn't mean you can fix everything for your neighbor or for yourself. What we do for everybody on the side of the road, what we do for every neighbor, even ourselves, is simply to stop and to notice, to see the pain, to hold it, to bandage it as best we can, and to spend a little time, a little resource, showing compassion and care. What if I don't love myself the way I'm called to love my neighbor? That was today's question in our challenging topics and challenging texts. And my answer is, first of all, you're not alone. My answer is, first of all, there's a million reasons why that's true, because we're taught to not love ourselves as we love our neighbors. But what do we do about that is the next question. And all I can say is that we need to hear Jesus telling us it is a sacred and a holy thing to love ourselves. It is a sacred and a holy thing to say, I need rest today. I need someone to tend my wounds today. And that someone can even be me. I need someone to just sit and take care of me, because I've been so busy taking care of everyone else that it's like all the life and energy have just been robbed right out of me. What if I loved myself the way I loved my neighbor? I would say, faults and all, I still love you. I would say all those things, those negative things, bad experiences, the stuff other people have said, that's not what God says about you. What God says about you is, I created you, I knit you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully and beautifully made. That's what God says of you. That's what matters. If I loved myself the way I love my neighbors, I would listen with compassion to my own grief or my own pain and just let it be. I would tend my own wounds. I would take time to rest. I would remember that sometimes we have to care for the person right in front of us, and sometimes what's right in front of us is a mirror. And sometimes who God is calling us to love, those really hard people to love, sometimes that really hard person is me. If I loved myself as I loved my neighbor, I would be self-giving and self-sacrificial. I would take time that I don't have to listen and to attend to my inner self. Because the Samaritan doesn't necessarily have time to stop and bind up the broken, and neither do I, but I do it for my neighbor. What if I don't love myself the way I'm called to love my neighbor? My answer is, I need to start by giving myself some forgiveness even for that. I need to start with the beautiful vision of how God loves me and how, if I am to care for others, and for me this is the only motivation that works really, if I am to care for others, I have to care for myself. If I am to love others, I have to love myself. If I'm to forgive others, I have to forgive myself. I don't do it for myself yet. That's what I'm still working on. But I can do it for my neighbor. So that I can better care for that neighbor, I can remember that I need to care for myself. So that I can better be gentle and compassionate with my neighbor's every flaw, I remember that I need to be gentle and compassionate with my own. And the beauty of it is that because I'm not motivated enough to take care of myself for my own sake, loving my neighbor teaches me to love myself. Loving my neighbor is good practice for loving myself. Because I don't think one or the other of those comes first when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. I don't think we should always keep the sentence in that order, and I don't think we should always switch it to the other. Because I think the word as means the same. It can also mean at the same time. What if I don't love my neighbor as myself? I have to. As I love myself, while I love myself, I must love my neighbor. And while I love my neighbor, as I love my neighbor, I am called and I am learning to love myself. So on this road where we are sometimes beaten and broken and sometimes offering care and compassion, at the same time, God help us. May we love our neighbors. And may we learn and grow to love even ourselves. Amen.